Our scripture reading for this week is found in the Gospel of Mark. We're beginning in chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." So we have been talking together about Sabbath, or about Jubilee, here for a couple weeks. Sadly, I think not a word we in the church hear enough, probably, this word of joy, about rest and freedom, about release from the things that bind us, Jubilee. It seems the secular world has kind of claimed ownership of this important word that the church has kind of forgotten, I think. The Christian Sunday has been described as a little Easter, it's been said, a little Easter, like the Lord's Day, when we try to keep a kind of Sabbath rest and remember and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, little Easter. And I heard it said also that it is appropriate then, just the same, to think of biblical Sabbath as like a little Jubilee. Little Jubilee, a weekly celebration, a release from our toiling work once a week, a day to lean in to the life and to the joy of the Lord. Little Jubilee. In a book I was reading about a busy young family's experiment with trying to keep the Sabbath, they noted how before they started to experiment with trying to take a Sabbath, they looked up from their calendar one morning and they realized that it had been 4 months since their family had a single day without anything to do on the calendar. And this may seem all too familiar. There is for many, so many, a kind of spiritual crisis that we're dealing with, I think. Too many are overworked and overtired and stressed out and continually struggling to make the time to pause for long enough for some much-needed rest or for time with God or for quality time with family. We need a little Jubilee. The rabbi Abraham Heschel wrote in his book about the Sabbath, he said that one of the most distinguished words of the Bible is the word holy, holy. It's about God's great majesty and the mystery of God. And the first time, he said, the first time this important word holy was used, it's in the book of Genesis, at the end of the story of creation. God creates the world the first 6 days and he calls it good. But this word holy, when it's finally used, it isn't used about some holy place. It's not about a holy object or something. The first time the scriptures use this word, it's about time. He said, it's about time. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. It's about time. And the Bible generally is considerably concerned with time. Our time matters to God. How we spend our time for the sake of our soul. God is concerned with the way our time is spent, with the way our life is spent. And so all this stuff about the Sabbath, how we spend our days, it matters. Even while it's not necessarily all that easy for us. It was on the Sabbath that Jesus and his disciples, they were making their way through the fields and they were plucking grain to eat along their way. It was on the Sabbath again that Jesus was in the synagogue and he healed the man with the withered hand. And Jesus in general tended to rub the religious leaders all the wrong way, but this was the Sabbath. This was the day that was to be kept holy, and Jesus was breaking the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, these committed religious men, they couldn't contain themselves after witnessing what were so very clearly to them violations of the Sabbath commandment. Upon hearing their complaints, Jesus responded simply. He said, "The Sabbath was made for humankind. It was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. It was made for us, not for us to contort and conform ourselves to all the rules and regulations that we set up around it. The Sabbath was made for us." Barbara Brown Taylor said that if you're of a certain age and you were raised in the South, then for all practical purposes, the commandment about the Sabbath might as well have read, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it boring," she said. "Remember the Sabbath and keep it boring." The Sabbath was the day, she said, you could not wear blue jeans, and you could not play ball. You could not ride bikes, you couldn't go to the movies, you couldn't do anything but go to church in the morning and then again at night with hours of boredom in between. Keep it boring. I read one pastor share about his Presbyterian family, his ancestors who were strict about their Sabbath keeping. His grandmother cooked her lavish Sabbath feast on Saturday so the stove would not be lit and no work done on the holy day. No sports and no games, no frivolous things were allowed on Sunday. Only worship, rest, and Bible study. Though he did say there were stories about his uncle who would lounge in his backyard lawn chair just close enough to the non-observant neighbor's window so that he could overhear, so he could listen to the Cubs game coming from out of the window. And he said, "So my family was a little short-sighted in their rules and their strict Sabbath codes." He said, "They got some of the notes right, but not the music," he said. "Some of the notes, but not the music." The Sabbath was made for us, not the other way around. It seems that even since Jesus' time and beyond, the commandment became so expanded, so rigid, that we've missed the point, lost sight of the original purpose and the spirit of the law. Jesus and the disciples couldn't even pick grain to eat when they were hungry, couldn't even heal a hurting man without offending the religious leaders. As much as of a heretic as it seems that Jesus is, really, Jesus, he was not trying to do away with the law. He was not trying to reject or destroy the law. He was trying to fulfill it. Jesus came to fulfill it. He was trying to show us the real purpose again. God doesn't intend for us some rigid tradition that doesn't allow for the hungry to eat, or that denies healing to those who are hurting. It is a gift for us. God wants this gift made for us, Jesus said. And so they ate grain. So he healed the man on the Sabbath. Jesus, he could have waited to cure the man's withered hand. He could have waited until sundown, until after the Sabbath. He could have waited, but he didn't. He didn't wait. Because I think Jesus wanted to clarify. He wanted to show us. Jesus didn't care so much about the rules. He was making it clear for us that it was about life, that he was about life. And so he told the hurting man, even on the Sabbath, stretch out your hand. Reach out and receive the life and the healing that he hoped for. It's about life, Jesus was saying. If we're being honest with ourselves, for too long, sadly, throughout the history of the church, religion and religious practice, it has been seen and has often acted as if it was at odds with the kind of fullness of life, that Christianity stands against life and freedom and joy. But the picture of Jesus that we find in the Gospels, it makes it clear that that is surely misguided, not based on the Jesus that we follow. Jesus came to free us not only from sin and from death, but to free us from the rigid, lifeless religious things. The Jesus that we find in the Gospels is the one who over and over risked his reputation to sit down and eat and drink with sinners. He embraced and radiated a fullness of life that we should emulate. And Jesus came, as he said, that we might have life, have it abundantly. It should say something to us in our practice of faith that it's this Jesus. It's this Jesus, the one that the religious people couldn't stand. It's that Jesus that we follow after. And he came that we might have life. Have it more abundantly. One pastor wrote that most people I know want to talk about why it's impossible. It's impossible for them to really stop for a time and to rest in God. There's not enough hours in the day. There's not enough days in the week as it is. It seems almost impossible. And she said, if you want to try to go down that road, to consider the impossibility of it. It's an interesting spiritual exercise in itself, she said. Just make two lists on one piece of paper. On one side of the paper, list all of the things that you know give you life. All the things that you know give you life, but that you never take time to do. All the things that give you life. And then on the other side, make a list of the reasons why you think it's impossible for you to do those things. Just make the two lists and keep the paper where you can see it, somewhere where you can see it. But then promise not to shush your heart when it cries out for the list that it really wants, when it cries out for that life-giving list. If a whole day of life-giving freedom is too much for you to imagine, then start however you can. Start with an afternoon. Start with an hour of just time for life, abundant life with God. Often, I will have my list of things I have to do on my mind, kind of pressing in on me. So stopping in the middle of all that screaming to be done, that's the challenge that we face, of course. It's often after lunch in my work week for me. After lunch, I'll have lunch with Stephanie and my son Ollie, and it's right just as I'm trying to get back to work. After lunch, trying to get back to work, and Ollie almost inevitably, he'll say, "You wanna play blocks?" Just as I'm trying to get back to work, you want to build a tower? And at the end of the day, if I check everything off my list, but I've missed a moment, I should have paused. I should have enjoyed my family, enjoy the presence of God. If I've missed these things, then I've really missed the things that should have been right at the top of the list. I heard a story that a great piano player was once asked by an admirer, "How do you handle the notes as well as you do?" They said, "How do you handle the notes as well as you do?" And the musician answered, he said that the notes I handle no better than many musicians. But he said, the pauses between the notes, that's really what makes the music. It's in the pauses. It's in the fleeting moments. It's in the time that we take to dwell and to live into the life that Jesus has for us that makes the life abundant. John Ortberg said that the great danger for us as Christians is not that we will renounce our faith. It's not that we will renounce our faith, but the great danger is that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. The words that Jesus spoke long ago to that man with the withered hand are just the words for us, I think. "Stretch out your hand," he said, "stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. His life was restored. The man could have resisted. There are 100 reasons why we can't, why we might as well stay as we are, where we are, with life as it is. But Jesus is calling us. For those who are overworked with weary souls, for those who are stuck in broken ways of life and in lifeless patterns of living, for those who long for fullness of life, Jesus is inviting us to stretch out, to reach out for the life that Jesus has to give. He has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen.